Okay.
Hello. My name is Emily Tinder, and this is an oral history interview with
Thomas Kettler.
Recorded on October 30, 2021 at the Northern Michigan University Archives. So my first questions, where are you from and how long have you been in the UP?
Okay, I'm from St. Clair Shores, Michigan, which is like Metro Detroit, and I've been here since the fall of 2018.
Mm-hmm. And you're a student. What are you studying?
Yeah, I'm a student, and I study history and political science. I made that decision 2 years into my college career because I couldn't decide between one of them, so I was like, why not both?
Why not both? And do you have any other roles on campus?
I'm the vice president of the student government. I've been in that for 3 years. Yeah, that's a fun time.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any family ties to the UP?
I do not. The funny thing is, my sister came here and went to Tech. She, like, did the 5 years and, like, had a lot of fun. And then I came up here and she's like, yeah, you should just go here, because she just brought me to Black Rocks, and I was like, that's the place to be. But I have another sister who's only been up to the UP once. And, like, she's always upset because, like, we've been in school, me and my other sister, collectively for, like, 8 or 9 years probably.
Yeah.
And she hasn't even come and visit us once.
Aww. Okay, well, what are your thoughts on the Upper Peninsula? Why are you here, and what do you love and hate about it?
Oh, well, I just love the UP. When I was in Boy Scouts back in 19 Ricky Ticky, we came to a camp in Munising. I'm using air quotes because I don't know where we were because we were in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, there is a Boy Scout camp in Munising.
Yeah. I went to that Boy Scout camp and I was like, wow, this place is really cool because, like, you could just pick up spearmint from the side of the trails and just rip it and smell how good. And then when I was deciding on what college to go to, I only applied to, like, 4 of them, which was Northern, Central, Western, and State. Obviously, I couldn't go to State because that's not a directional school. And they also didn't offer me any money. Western also didn't offer me any money at all. And I didn't want to go to Central because Central's a party school.
Sure.
And then I was just like, why not Northern? Because I didn't really have any, like, I didn't really have any thoughts in my head for school, so I was like, why not?
Yeah.
They have enough programs.
Yeah. You already talked about how you're associated, but what are you studying mainly, I guess? And let's see, like, what are your just thoughts on NMU? Why did you choose Northern? You kind of talked about, but what do you love and hate about it?
Well, I definitely love most of the people here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been with the same roommates for all my time here. I mean, one of them moved on because he graduated, but all the people around here, like, once you just, like, associate with people, they're automatically nice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I've made, like, anybody angry at me or, like, enemies at all up here. Well, except for, like, some people, but they're stupid, so it was very stupid of them, and they took it on themselves. I don't know how that sounds, but...
What are your thoughts on your classes here? Have you taken any memorable classes?
Okay, the first good class that I really loved was United States History 2, 1865. That was taught by Katherine Johnson, who isn't a doctor yet for some reason.
I think she's working on it.
She is. But I just really liked that class because we'd never met, and it was, like, mostly... Like, you had to go on this one website and just, like, take little quizzes. And it wasn't like you took a quiz and you got whatever grade. It was like you take as many questions until you get to a certain level.
Was it that inquisitive thing?
I think. I don't know. It was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all came in person to do RTTPs. And my favorite one was the 1968 Democratic National Convention.
Uh-huh.
I played John Connolly. And I was nominated vice president, even though we lost, but I still won. I won that game.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on RTTP? Because I think those are a really interesting part of the history department here.
I love them. Some of them are good, and some of them are bad. I've only had taken 2 RTTPs. No, I've had 3. I took the U.S. history one I had on the, it was like a silk factory strike in Patton, New Jersey or something like that, and then the convention. I didn't like the silk strike because it was very difficult to do, just because, I don't know. At the end of the game, it was just like, the labor was like, all right, here's our list of demands, and then we were like, sure, why not? Because there was nothing, like, stopping us from saying, yeah, because, like, there wasn't, like, any money tied to it, so it was very confusing.
Yeah.
The convention was a lot of fun, because you just wrote, like, a speech on, like, something, and I had to, like, be pro-Vietnam War, so that was a lot of fun. I mentioned Kennedy's assassination a lot in it, since Connolly was behind Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
Or was he in front? No, behind. No, he was in front. Yeah, because he had a bullet in his thigh.
Interesting, I never knew.
Yeah. He was the only man wounded in the assassination.
Oh, okay.
And then I took the history of the plague with Keith Kendall.
Yeah.
That was in the winter semester of 2020. So we got to do the RTTP, and then class went immediately online.
Why?
Which is nice, though, because the RTTP was a lot of fun. I was the mayor's wife and then daughter because I died of the plague. And I just, like, I don't remember how good I was at it because I was a woman in the olden time, so it was a struggle, but I had fun.
Yeah, good. Do you feel like they...
Oh, wait, one more thing. When I died from the plague, the one thing I did when I was in character, I'm using air quotes, was I wore a hat.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought another hat with me just in case my character died. So I took the hat off when I died and put a new one on, and everyone died laughing.
Do you feel like they, what did they contribute to your classes, and like how did they help you learn?
Well, it makes you think like you're in that time period. Even though, like, it's not a perfect method, because, like, there definitely could be some fixes for all RTTPs, but it's good because you have to think in the mindset of someone that you're not, and think about stuff in, like, the time period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, like, I had to think, like, the governor of Texas who loved the Vietnam War, which I am not any of those.
Drawing in lots of historical context.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious about what your experience with the student government has been like. We don't have, obviously, you're doing research on the student government right now, and you know that we don't have a lot of sources in the archives, so...
I mean, you have sources up to 99.
Well, now you're contributing from 2021.
Okay. Well, I joined in, I ran for Quad 2 representative in 2019 because my friend Chad Cusino told me so. He was in the student government. I thought, hey, if he's in it, I could do it. Because he was very lazy. Not to speak illy of Chad. He was amazing, but he was lazy. What else? So Chad told me to join, and then I joined. When I had my first meeting, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. Because they were using Robert's Rules of Orders, and I was like, gosh, this is like the most boring thing on earth. Because like, oh, you have to be recognized. It's like the first Star Wars movie. Even though, like, there wasn't even that much parliament stuff in the first one. And then...
What did you do as Quad 2 rep?
Not much. got one person in the student government, his name was Rich, he left, and he had a program called the Graduation Closet,
mm-hmm.
where there was, like, a bunch of graduation caps and gowns, and he left, and he didn't tell anybody how to do that. So, basically, my first semester there was talking with Haley Rhodes, one of the deans of students,
mm-hmm.
and she helped me, like, start the program back up, and I think we've only done it, that was, like, the first time, and then we've only done it one more time because of the pandemic.
Right. So that's where you can get, like, free caps and gowns?
Yeah, you can get a free cap and gown. I think currently, right now, we have 39.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's nice. And then, like, last year we did it, but since there wasn't an in-person graduation, Emma Drever and I did it, And, like, we made, like, a survey so people could get it every other weekend for, like, 3 weekends and just, like, get pictures with them. Mm-hmm. I got some real good pictures of Carl, my former roommate, because, like, they're hilarious. And then also that fall year, we had there's a traveling, like, conference between the UP student government. It's called 1UP. We had it at Northern. Logan Hartz was in charge of that at the time. I can't remember much of it, but we had, like, 3 speakers, and they were all mildly associated with the student government. Mm-hmm. One of them was a guy who's in charge of the student government at Michigan State. Their student government is ASMSU, mm-hmm. and ours is ASNMU, which is fun for some reason. Then we had Debbie Stabenow's regional manager for the UP, and the state representative Sarah Convency. Those were all the 3 people there. I also have like the little like sheet. I should have brought that.
You can bring it in later.
Yeah, it's in my folder of important documents that I keep.
You should definitely donate those.
What else? After that, and then during that, we were talking with Tech and Lake State because there was a bigger conference. I think it was called the United Conference, and that was at Saginaw Valley, which was just all of the student governments coming together. And I forgot what the conversation was like, because somebody wanted to start the Student Association of Michigan, which there's been something like that, like, forever. Like, there has been, like, a big coalition of Michigan governments. But, like, it goes through phases where it doesn't exist and it does. Mm-hmm. The last time it existed was, I think, like, 2010.
So you were trying to get that started back up?
Yeah, like, some guy from Michigan really wanted everybody to start it up. And we were having conversations, like, how do we make sure UP interests are still here? Mm-hmm. Because, like, we're 3 out of, like, 15 or 12. So, like, they could totally just do stuff to, like, steamroll us over.
Yeah.
And I think the whole agreement was, I don't know.
Did they start that?
No, they never did. Okay. But Sam, in 2010, like, they disbanded because all the UP schools left.
Oh.
It's because they got, like, way too specific into, like, you need to defund prisons and defund this. And prisons are how, like, we get most of our school funding.
Really?
This is what I've been told, so this could be very incorrect, but that's how we get our funding. And like they were trying to do too much, when I think it should have just been something like very, very, very vague, because like we don't need another student government because we're all students and nobody has time for that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how they had time for that in 2010. And then the pandemic. No. Was that the pandemic? 2019? Yeah, then the pandemic hit. I don't really know what we did then. Because, like, we all went online. Not even sure if... No, we had to have met, like, every other week at least. But, like, we couldn't do much. Because everybody left campus,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, everything was shut down.
Everybody left. Except for me. I stayed in the dorms an extra week after they closed because I got an apartment up here.
Mm-hmm.
On campus. Yeah, that was a sad semester because we all had a lot of fun with each other. Because, like, every Tuesday, like, the majority of the student government would be in the office together.
Mm.
And we'd all get lunch. And then we would all go fill up, there was little baskets in all the women's bathrooms. And we'd fill them up with tampons and pads, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to go in the bathrooms. But I did get to, like, carry around a bag full of tampons and pads. And that was a lot of fun.
What was the name for that?
That was the Period Project.
Okay.
They're still doing that.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm not sure if it's in that bathroom.
Yeah, they never hit this one.
I almost thought we did do it, but I don't know. I'm not in charge of that anymore.
Mm.
Oh, and then because everybody left, like, literally everybody left so suddenly, All of the baskets were still in all the bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
so I got to go into all the women's bathrooms in, like, April. I got to go through all the women's bathrooms and just fill up my backpack full of tampons and pads. That was a lot of fun.
Sure.
It was a bit scary, though, because, like, a cop had to escort me, or at least open up the door, and then he'd, like, waited outside for me,
mm-hmm.
which was a bit scary, but...
So, I'm just curious about, like, what ASNMU meetings are like, and what do you guys do?
ASNMU... Oh, yeah, because you guys don't have anything right now. Okay, so... We all meet up in Hedgecock. You know that weird room with all the... It's between where housing formerly was and ACAC is. Oh. But, like, we all sit in that room at 7 a.m. every other Wednesday morning. And then...
7 a.m.?
Yeah, that's the only time that worked for anyone.
Ugh.
Yeah, everybody's real busy this year. Even though I'm not the problem. I just want to make sure that's clear. Because my classes are, like, few and far between.
Yeah, okay.
But we all meet up at 7 a.m., and then the meeting starts with reports from the e-board, so, like, the president, the vice president, the treasurer, and then the chair of the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Who are they right now?
Can you just give the president names? Is Bethany Beavers. I'm the vice president. The treasurer is Emily Martins. I'm not exactly sure what her last name is. I just called her Emily.
That sounds right.
And then the chair is Kylie Lancer. Then after that, then there might be appointments on the agenda, either to the assembly, at which I'm in charge of appointing people, or there's also appointments to university committees, which I'm also in charge of. I don't really enjoy writing those letters that much.
The appointments?
Yeah, just because it's very tricky to just type up on based off of somebody's applications.
Yeah.
Because some people just say, like, I like talking with this person, let me in. And it's not very fun to, like, riff off of that for, like, a couple sentences.
Sure.
And then maybe there'll be, like, then there's updates from, like, everybody else. And sometimes there's, like, resolutions, but we haven't had a resolution in a hot minute. Like, the last, like, important one, I think, I mean, I'm just using that. But last semester, Governor Whitmer appointed Jason Morgan to the board,
mm-hmm.
and his appointment was just sitting in the state senate. So we wrote a resolution, like, yelling at Ed McBroom, our state senator, to be like, hey... Stop playing politics with our education.
Yeah.
And I think we also got Tech and Lake State to do that, too.
Okay. I remember that.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, and what else? Yeah, just go on.
Well, okay.
Because then I don't think there's anything else interesting that happens in our meetings.
Do you have any recollections about other resolutions? Like, were you there when they passed the resolution about Indigenous Peoples Day?
I don't think I was, because I was there for, like, the last... Oh, wait, no, I was.
Do you remember it at all?
I just remember, because I was not involved in those discussions at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was mostly Cody at the time, Cody Mayer, the former president, and I think he's a city commissioner now.
Yeah.
But all I remember much is he made a presidential proclamation... to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I can remember. Because all that fighting happened way before my time.
Yeah.
And I'm the oldest, longest serving member on this in the student government, so, like, a lot of stuff happened before me.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember any other resolutions that were particularly memorable?
Well, at our very last meeting before the transfer of power last year... we had this guy named, what's his name? John. And he went to Northern, like, back in, like, 2010, but came back. And then he joined and he was also in ASNMU.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back. And he made this very long proposal for, like, climate change and, like, to make us a more greener school. And that was, like, the first time anybody had ever seen it. And I don't remember, like, half the stuff in it. And I don't think anybody else did either, because that was the first time any of us were reading it.
Yeah.
And we all passed it unanimously. At least that's what the record says.
Wild.
Yeah.
What's your perception of the student government's role on campus right now?
Right now, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings, but I don't want to say all of them because, like, some of them are mean.
Okay.
Right now, I don't know what the student government is thinking. I think we have, we don't really have our priorities in order right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are more interested in projects of, like, self-vanity rather than helping out the students.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I suggested we make, like, an ad hoc committee to, like, organize people and, like, inform people what's going on. And then that was shot down immediately because we already have that committee. And I don't know. There's a lot of issues in the student government right now. And I don't know if I can even fix them.
Yeah. Are you going to run for presidency?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You're done?
Yeah, because I graduate.
Oh.
And the elections are only in April or May or whenever.
Oh, okay.
So I can't run ever again. I'm going out on top, winning 3 elections in a row.
Absolutely.
It's something nobody else has done in the student government right now, because everybody else has been appointed at least once. And I take great pride in never being appointed. Even though it became very problematic when I became the chair of the appointments committee, because I don't know how to do that at all.
Oh. Do you have any other memorable experiences from Northern?
Oh, yes. Right before Thanksgiving break of 2019, I was briefly Wildcat Willie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So how did that come about? Like, why?
It was late at night, I forgot when, in the dorms, and the 2 RAs on duty, which I think was Simon and Hattie, maybe, and Simon was like, hey, does anybody want to be Wildcat Willie? Oh, wait, it was a Thursday night, because we were watching a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what movie it was, but Simon came in and was like, hey, anybody want to be Wildcat Willie? I don't know how he got that opportunity to him,
yeah.
But I was like, yes. Well, no, I had to think about it first, and I was like, yeah, I could do it. The fun thing was, my sister would have driven me home the next day, and also I think my roommate was going to drive home the next day. So I had to go through like 3 people to get a ride home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hattie offered me a ride home. And then he gave my phone number to somebody. I forgot who they were.
Mm.
And then I, like, walked over to the Barry Event Center, and they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to be the mascot. And I still have that ticket in my jacket because I just love it. And then when we got all the way there to Michigan Tech, they just gave me this giant bag. It almost looked like you could fit an entire drum set in it,
yeah.
But it didn't weigh as much. And I just, like, walked in, like, through the doors, walked straight past the ticket person without showing them anything,
uh-huh.
Which was very suspicious on my part. And I'm just surprised I was never stopped.
Yeah.
And then they, like, let me in, and then there was, like, this tiny little locker room, like, on the ground floor, and they're like, yep, that's where you're gonna change. And then, like, I started to put on the costume, but, like, I couldn't because, like, you needed an extra person because I think, like, the jersey was giving me trouble or something else. So I had to go up to, like, the student section and be like, somebody help me. And then when I went back down, I got somebody to help me. And then the one problem with the costume was they did not have all the leg pieces. So I had the pants. But, like the furry little, like, knees.
The paws?
No, like, whatever this part of your leg is.
Like a calf.
From your ankle down. Knee down.
Yeah.
They did not have that. So, like, I was like, oh, my gosh. So, I had to take, like, these really, really gross, crusty green socks and pull them, like, all the way up and try and, like, tuck my jeans into them so, like, nobody would notice.
Uh-huh.
You can notice them on some of the pictures. But then I was in the Wildcat Willie costume and I walked around like like a crazy person with like moving my arms up and down. But like,
this is during a hockey game?
Yes, this was during a Michigan Tech hockey game.
Uh-huh.
The person, I forgot who they were, but like the athletics person was like, don't go too far. And I was like, okay. So I just stuck around like the little student section the entire time.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, a group of people got a picture with me, and, like, I'm not that big. I'm pretty skinny. And, like, they put their arm around me, and I was like, I just felt bad for them. Because, like, that would not be what I'm expecting when I touch Wildcat Willie. And then, oh, what was the other thing? Okay, I don't remember. I had a thought, and I lost. But I also got a picture with a Blizzard T Husky.
Mm-hmm.
We're shaking hands in it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really remember what else, but I was only Wildcat Willie for like two periods. And one of the fun things about it was Michigan Tech, like you can tweet and they put your tweets up on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
And the one tweet that I remember was somebody tweeted, "Wildcat Willie looking pretty emo tonight." I think we lost the game. But that is my only review of my time as Wildcat Willie.
Excellent.
Which I just love.
We should, like, find and frame that tweet.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, yeah?
I have that tweet.
Good.
I made sure to save it.
Do you have any other thoughts?
I don't know.
Well, okay, so we were in the dorms together.
Mm-hmm.
American Graffiti. Woo!
Yeah.
And Van Antwerp. Do you have any recollections about that you want to share? What was dorm life like?
Well, I loved it in the dorms. I felt like I knew everybody in there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I went to the hall government, the house government. I had the list of everyone's birthdays because I was the birthday share, mm-hmm. not a creepy person. I loved it, and I also started Bad Movie Night, which we call Terrible Theater Thursdays with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
I was very distraught because, like, a year ago, I was watching Community, which is, like, based off of Community College, and, like, mm-hmm. apparently everybody watches bad movies. I thought we were special, but we watched bad movies. It all started because we watched The Room in my room one day,
mm-hmm.
and by Tommy Wiseau, and that was just a beautiful film. And we were like, why don't we just do this every Thursday? Just because, like, nobody has Friday classes, or unless you're, like, a loser and are like a science major. I don't know what else. Oh, whenever we went into hall governments, I would always like chant like one house, one couch.
Yep.
Which I loved, but American Graffiti was the only one to participate in that, which was funny because we had like 7 or 8 people sitting on a couch meant for like 3.
Yep. Plus that giant teddy bear.
And that giant teddy bear. Yeah, Wyatt had a giant teddy bear. Oh, gosh. I remember Wyatt needed to put more stuffing in him. So, like, we cut open its butt. And then, like, I was putting more stuffing in there. And then Sophie, the RD at the time, walked in on me with my arm, like, halfway in this stuffed animal. And then that was funny. And then I really all liked my suite mates and roommates. They were all amazing people. I think my sophomore year, we had the best room design. Because my freshman year, some of our friends down the hallway were moving out.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave us their entire dorm carpet. And I was like, hell yeah, this is wonderful. So then we put out that carpet. We had a futon. We made bunk beds. And then we had, like, dressers right next to the bunk bed, so the TV was facing the futon. And that was just a beautiful setup.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in our bathroom, we just had a shrine of garbage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't started by me, though, but I keep doing it. I don't know why.
You still have the shrine of garbage in your bathroom?
Yes.
Oh, great.
I don't want a boring bathroom. It's just an easy way to decorate.
Sure.
And anyways, it's not all garbage.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. What has your experience been like with the COVID? And how did your life change from before? How is it still affecting you? All that stuff.
Well, when COVID hit, I was like, I'm just going to stay up here. The UP is so, like, sparsely populated, it won't ever get up here. Mm-hmm. Which, that was stupid, but it did take, like, a whole month or two for it to, like, the first case to happen in the UP. Mm-hmm. But I stuck around up here, and, like, slowly but surely, all of my friends had left me.
Yeah.
But it was always fun, because there was always one person that was willing to hang out with me. Like, I used to hang out with people in Concert House across the dorm. Mm-hmm. And then they all left because they were reading, and I'm using air quotes here, they're writing on the wall, I'm not using air quotes now, that, like, the school was going to shut down. And then I was like, no, if I think I would know something about this as someone in the student government, mm-hmm. if the school was going to shut down. So then they all left, and then I think Carl, my suite mate, left. That's just because his aunt wanted him to leave. And then Eli, my roommate, he stuck around. And then housing offered everybody, like, money if you moved out really? By a certain date. I think they did. Like, they offered you, like, a refund of some sort if mm-hmm. you left. Mm-hmm. So then that got him to leave. Mm-hmm. And so then it was just me, the RA Wyatt, Katie and Nate. And that was okay for a long time. And then when somebody else left, they gave me their TV cable so I could watch cable. And that was, like, my favorite thing on earth. Because then I could watch C-SPAN whenever I wanted to. And I watched a lot of C-SPAN. I still watch a lot of C-SPAN.
Do you remember the progression of, like, what did they...
Oh, like the rules?
Yeah, like wearing masks and being in public spaces.
I remember, like, the first thing they did was, like, they put up signs saying, stop if you're leaving, like, make sure your room's in order, and, like, they had a list of things. Mm-hmm. And then I think they added these signs that were, like, this space is limited to 4 people, which was very upsetting to me. Mm-hmm. Because, like, when the pandemic first started out, I had, like, a Republican mindset and was like, we can't live in fear. Let's go protest. And then I never acted on any of that. But then I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably smart to be safe. But, like, I was bothered by that because, like, our community was still relatively small. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not the end of the world if, like, there was 5 people. But that really bothered me. And then I forgot when. This might have been, like, a couple weeks into it. Dining started requiring you to wear a face covering.
Yep.
And obviously, like, the only thing I had was, like, a face garter, like those weird northern scarves that just go around your face. So when I first saw that, I was like, oh, dang. And then I just took my flannel off and tied it around my face.
So they didn't give you masks or anything?
They did not give us masks.
I guess there was a shortage, wasn't there?
Yeah, nobody was creative enough to make masks yet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think the transition for school was sort of lousy, but that's just because nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah. What was your experience with that?
I was not able to focus at all in any of my online classes. Mm-hmm. And I hate that because I really wish I could have learned some stuff, but, like, I could not. Also, one of the things I really hated was, like, the people who wanted you to take a test but keep your camera on. Like, I'm not cheating, but please don't watch me while I'm taking a test. Yeah. It's just creepy.
Yeah.
And then another professor, he's the least tech-savvy person I know, and he would just send us an email and say, here is a project, give it to me in 8 hours, here's your partner. Which was horrible.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I couldn't contact these people fast enough. But on the bright side, one of the person I worked with the most was an RA in the hall, because we had that class together. And we were like, hey, if you want, put us together. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, maybe.
So did you, like, transition to Zoom lectures, or were they, like, pre-recorded?
Oh, one of them was Zoom lectures. Actually, 2 of them were Zoom lectures, I think. What was my other class? And one of them was just emailing. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what the other class was. I can't remember it. But another class, the professor was very, very nice. And they were like, everything after this point is extra credit.
Oh, wow.
So I gave up. I didn't do anything in that class because I already had an A. So I was like, nope, not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't show up for any Zoom lectures. Didn't do anything. Also, I think I didn't want to show up to Zoom because it was at 8 a.m.
Oh, sure.
And another thing about when everybody left was I went down to the BG, I don't know what that stands for, but of the building of Van Antwerp, and I was like, hey, are you guys hiring? And he said, just meet me in the lobby in like 10 minutes. And like, I went into the lobby and I got a job cleaning Majors Hall, like just out of the blue. And I kept that job for like 2 years. It was wonderful. But like, I'm just surprised at how like, they're like, yeah, here, just have a job.
How about that?
It was very nice because it kept me busy, because I would have gone nuts if I just had to sit in the dorms. Even though I did go on a lot of hikes during that time frame. Because
mm-hmm.
Nate's a genius and he knew everywhere cool to go hiking.
Yeah.
I did not.
I remember we would do like Zoom meetings where we'd play Jackbox.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that you had to like sit in separate parts of the TV room. But were you ever like confined to your rooms or anything like that?
No. I don't think we were ever confined to our rooms, because there wasn't a mask mandate in the dorms.
Yeah.
Just because I just don't think they wanted to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was fun. I don't really remember that very specifically, because I think I didn't have Jackbox. Who had the Jackbox?
Mm-hmm.
Was that just Wilson?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think it was just Wyatt, too. I think it was just the Discord Jackbox call.
Oh yeah.
Of all the AG kids and then whoever else came in.
Yeah.
But one thing I did do during that I just remembered was like every night at like 9 or 8 o'clock, I would have a Zoom call with all my friends from Concert House.
Aww.
And that was very nice.
Yeah.
Cause I was upset because like they all left. And I'd always have my Stephen Colbert, another thing that was fun during when everybody left, is I had a Stephen Colbert cutout. My sister gave it to me. You were there.
Yep.
Yep.
We brought it from Tech in my car.
We brought it from Michigan Tech, and she bought it off of like the Michigan Tech Craigslist, and they said they got it from somebody, and that person got it from a car dealership or something ridiculous. So I had a lot of fun with that Stephen Colbert. I brought it into my friend's room, my friend Grace's room, and like she was like, it scares me. And then she turned it around to like face the window, and like then everybody but Grace left, and she turned it back around, even though she was scared of it, because she didn't want to feel lonely or something. And then she went to go take a shower, and then after her shower, she came out and she screamed because she wasn't expecting Stephen Colbert. And like then she ran into the hallway in just a towel, and that's a funny thing that I did with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. He's in the ASNMU office now, right?
Yeah.
He's got a little mask on.
And then also Stephen Colbert, I would put him at the end of the hallways in the dorms. That scared a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd put him in the TV rooms just far enough away because it would just be dark enough so you wouldn't realize it wasn't a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared a lot of RAs. I'm very proud of him.
Sounds fun. Random question, but do you remember the transition to takeout food in the lights?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember how exactly it happened, but, like, they built up, like, a barricade at the staircase. Because, you know, there's a staircase leading up, and then you'd, like, swipe your ID, and you'd go in, and then you'd get your food.
Yeah.
But they built, like, a barricade of tables up there because, like, nobody was allowed to eat in there anymore. And then I think they had, like, a big TV, and it gave you, like, a long list of options, like, of what you could eat. and then like random side things. I don't really remember that much about it, but I just remember like you could get like full-size candy bars at some point. Or like naked juice, like really like expensive stuff, and they'd just be like, yeah. Because nobody was going to cat tracks anymore because right. there wasn't anybody here, so they slowly started getting rid of all the cat track stuff.
And probably the sundry stuff, too.
And the sundry stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because they just gave it all up. I think sundry just closed.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, only the lights was open. Maybe.
I think they closed all the buildings down, didn't they?
Yeah. Was the den even open?
Mm.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Oh, well.
I remember that I ate there, like, one last time before I left campus, but I have no idea after that.
I feel like they probably closed. Because they would have had to... They couldn't dine in, so they probably closed all the eateries except for that.
Yeah.
But I got my money's worth, though. Oh, yeah, they also had soups, like, little, like, microwavable soups. Uh-huh. I got so many of those, because I was, like, preparing to, like, not... have a meal plan anymore because I was moving to an on-campus apartment, and I still have some of those soups.
Stacking up.
They're not even that good of soups, but I have them.
But they were free.
Yeah, they were free.
Well, how does COVID still affect your life today?
Oh, wait.
Okay.
So after all the dorm stuff,
yeah,
and I moved off campus, and then, like, I came home from the summer, like, mid-May because my boss was like, hey, you want to come back? And I was like, sure, I'll be there. And then that summer was, I cleaned toilets at a park, so that was exciting. I can't tell you much what happened, but I think I had to wear a mask, like, whenever I went into the bathrooms. They wanted us to wear masks in vehicles, but everybody was like, no, because we ate together, so that didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, there was no COVID scares the entire summer. And then when I got back up to school, we all had mandatory COVID testing.
Yep.
And then mine came back positive. I'm not sure if I had COVID because everyone I surrounded myself with, nobody had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure it was a false positive, but I'll never know. And I just always feel like I'm, like, insane for always thinking this. Just because, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Did they just tell you that you probably were asymptomatic? Or?
Yeah, they just told me I was asymptomatic. So, for my first week of school, I had to spend it in Spalding Hall,
mm-hmm.
which was horrible.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh my gosh, it was horrible.
So
like, the very first day,
yeah.
everyone and their brother was calling me, uh-huh. and I hated it. Because, like, it wasn't like people being like, oh, are you doing okay? No, it was, like, my work being, like, or maybe it was the next day. I forgot. But, like, everybody was calling me for my work, and they're like, hey, I just want to know, do you have COVID? And then they're like, or, like, who'd you touch in the last days of your work? And I was like, I don't want to talk to you right now. This is very stressful.
Yeah, doing contact tracing?
Yeah, that was very stressful. It was even more stressful on my roommates,
mm-hmm.
Eli and Carl, because, like, Carl took it very, very badly. Like, he was, like, hyperventilating, be like, I'm gonna die.
Oh.
Like, my life is cut short now.
Oh.
And then, like, I just remember, like, when I had to go over to Spalding, like, I left the apartment with, like, a bag full of, like, random junk. And, like, I was wearing a mask, and I was crying, like, a lot. And I had, like, a thermometer just to make sure I wasn't, like, sick or anything. And, like, I took my temperature immediately, and it was like, oh, you have a fever. But that's just because I was crying.
Yeah.
But, like, when you got it, the doctor who was in charge of it, he'd call you and he was like, just let me know. And then you got card access into Spalding. And then you got to pick up a key. Because
mm-hmm.
there was just, cabinet. It was a little cabinet with a bunch of keys.
Mm-hmm.
And they either said, like, Q or I, which was quarantine or isolation. And I had an isolation key because I had COVID. And then you'd walk down, like, one of the halls, which were still, like, very fancy and decorated. And then...
Decorated?
You know, because, like, the murals all over the walls. All the murals were still there. I think mine was, like, jungle themed.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, you opened up the door, and then you were just in that little room for, like, a week. I think I was there for, like, 6 days.
You didn't leave at all?
I couldn't leave at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wanted to leave. Like, they were like, hey, could you just, like, give us outdoor time? And they were like, no, that violates HIPAA. I don't know.
Okay.
And then, okay, so
you got the key.
I got the key. And then every twice a day, you'd get an email saying, like, what do you want for food?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd say, like, I want this, this, this. And then sometime during the day, the dining people would come by in, like, a full gown and mask and, like, goggles maybe. I don't know.
Wow.
And then they'd all set food down without you really recognizing that it happened. And then, like, once they did that, they'd go and slam on all the doors. And I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated it so much. Because, like, it scared the shit out of me. And then...
Did they have anything in the dorms when you got there?
Yeah, they had two beds. Like, all of the normal dorm furniture of two beds, two dressers, two
mm-hmm.
desks and hutches. But they gave you bedding, which was very bad. Like, the fitted sheet on the bed, like, it never fit.
Oh.
Like, it came off every single night. I recognize I could have, like, put, like, the big sheet on there, but, like, I didn't have critical thinking at the time because it was too stressful.
Uh-huh.
And then they gave you, like, cups, I think, and, like, a bag of food. On top of a tiny fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had fridges of various sizes. And they gave you a microwave. And I think, like, a bar of soap.
Sounds like prison.
Yeah, it basically was like prison. And then every day, I feel like they still didn't have all, like, the bugs out for, like, how they handle kids.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, I think maybe on, like, my third or fourth day, people started to call me more from the university, like someone from the dean's office. And then you'd also get called by it's either you got called or texted by a nurse every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, that was never fun. Cause like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm alive. And they're like, good. And then the dean's people were nice just cause I don't think there's a mean person in the dean of students office.
Yeah. Were they like, calling to check up on you?
Yeah, just to make sure you're doing okay. Like, do you need anybody to go get you books? Or, I don't know. They offered to help,
yeah.
No matter, do whatever they could for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also what your RD would call you, too, if you were in housing.
Mm-hmm.
He only called me once, and he said he was going to be calling me, like, every day to make sure I was doing okay. That was a weird conversation. I didn't enjoy it. Because he was just doing it because he was told to do it.
Right.
And then, yeah, that was just a not fun time in there. Because, like, I feel like I just watched, like, Netflix or something. I just binge-watched stuff. I think it was Brooklyn Nine-Nine, maybe. I'm not exactly sure what I was watching. Oh, and I think some of my friends... Oh, the best part is... I went to my friend's house, like, the first night I was in Marquette. Because my parents, they got a hotel room that was just a king-size bed.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, you can't sleep in there. Cause it's, and, like, it was obviously all packed up. So then I talked to one of my friends, like, the night before. And they're like, hey, we have a bunch of couches if you want to, like, hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then I called them and I was like, hey, can I sleep over? And they're like, sure. And then, like, we had a slumber party that night.
Aww.
But the worst part is I made two houses of people have to quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
Which I felt bad about. But they all took, like, really cool pictures of themselves during quarantine. And then my friend Grace was like, you also got to take pictures of yourself. So... I just took pictures of myself, like, doing the draw me like one of your French girls pose on the bed, fully clothed, and that's all the pictures I took, and that was, like, 6 days of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think I watched, like, movies with them one night over Zoom, and then...
We had a Jackbox party, I remember.
Yeah, there was probably Jackbox games with people over Zoom or Discord. And then the nights when I didn't do stuff, that was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I'm a very social person. I think people can tell because, like, I love the dorms. So, like, it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing is, like, there'd be groups of people outside the window, like, talking to people, and they didn't even recognize that, like, I was in there. And, like, I understand, like, why are you going to talk to a stranger? But, like, somebody peed, like, right outside my window.
Oh.
They didn't pee towards the dorm. They peed at a tree, but, like, still.
Yeah.
That was really, really annoying.
Weird. So do you mean people were, like, talking to their friends inside the dorms from mm-hmm. outside? Didn't they ban that eventually?
They put up signs when I was in there of, like, 20 feet or I don't know how far it was, 15, 20 feet.
Away from the windows.
And saying, like, you don't go past this point or else you're going to catch COVID, which was a bit ridiculous, but, like, I understand. And they also really didn't want people sneaking in booze.
Oh,
because
sure.
that is most certainly what some of those kids were doing, because Spalding Hall, like, half of those window screens aren't even there.
Yeah.
I bet. That's my bet.
Yeah.
And then, like, the day I got out, I, like, all my roommates in the apartment, like, they still couldn't leave for, like, another week because they had to quarantine.
They had to quarantine longer than you did?
Yes.
Interesting.
I tested positive and they tested negative.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't really make much sense,
yeah.
But it makes sense in like the science standpoint of view. But like I like walked over to Lakeshore Boulevard or whatever, like wherever Lake Superior is, like just straight, like right by the dome. And I just watched the sunset. Even though that was a very lousy view of the sunset, because the sun sets the other side.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see the sunset.
Aww.
And then, when my roommates finally were able to be free, we went and hiked up Sugarloaf at midnight. That was a lot of fun.
What did you do for the week that you couldn't be in your apartment?
Oh, I could be in my apartment.
Oh.
It was very weird. I was able to just sit in my apartment. I could come and go as I pleased, but they couldn't.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very strange setup.
Indeed.
And then, what was even the question now? COVID?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how does it still affect your life today?
Well, it's just a stressor, just altogether, because
general.
Like the constant threat of getting an illness, also like my biggest fear was giving it to like an older person and accidentally killing, like I'd feel responsible for killing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want that on my conscience at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why like I didn't see like anybody, like that summer when COVID was going on, I went to work and I went home. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, and I did help out my great aunt, but I felt really, really sketchy with doing that because, like, I didn't want to get her sick.
Yeah.
But then after I got my shot and, like, whenever that was in May, or I felt a lot safer,
mm-hmm.
even though, like, it's still there. But, like, I think my shot, the Moderna one, is the safest one. So I feel like I'm okay. Even though, like, the constant fear is still there because people aren't being responsible.
Yeah. Did you get your vaccine at school?
Yeah, that was an exciting day.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It was up at the Northern Center, and that was lots of people. And it's weird because, like, you didn't see lots of people at the time.
Right.
But, like, and, like, when you got in there, they're like, happy vaccination day. Because I think that was, like, someone from the National Guard. And they were just there to, like, point you upstairs.
Yeah.
And then, like, you got your little card and you filled it out with your name. And then they'd take it and then they'd write down whatever shot you were getting and whatever magic numbers they put on there.
Yep.
I remember the guy who gave me the shot because he was like, oh, I really like, because he was a very nice guy. And, like, he talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was, like, into international relations. And, like, I don't know. He was a very nice guy.
Was he also a National Guard?
No, he was just an older guy. I don't know much. I don't remember much about him, but I liked him.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was like, you're pretty cool. And then, like, he gave me my shot, and I didn't even, like, feel hurt because, like, I hate shots normally, but, like, it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all, and then after you got your shot, they made you walk like down to the other side of the ballroom where there was just two sets of chairs, like widespread. It was sort of creepy how it was. And then you could get like a free like banana or like brownie from how dining, mm-hmm. and like a drink too. And then you just had to sit there for 15 minutes. And then you, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an exciting day. My second shot was not as exciting. Because I got it at home. Uh-huh. I drove to CVS. Nobody said happy vaccination day. They gave me my shot, and then I went home. And I just had to sit in front of the pharmacy for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is a very strange thing. Because, like, they weren't like, yep, you're 15 minutes up. You're free to go. No, like, I could have left, like, immediately, but, like, it was creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that at all. And then the side effects from that vaccine, this my second shot, were, like, nasty, because I got the chills.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to bundle myself up. But the thing that I didn't think about was I need to drink water so I don't sweat and, like, just become, like, a prune. But I didn't drink water. So, like, the morning I woke up, like, I passed out, like, immediately on the floor.
Oh, my.
I think I did it, like, twice. I got, like, a nasty bruise on my knee.
Ugh.
I also got another bruise on my knee, but that was in January of this year. Because I worked in cleaning the apartments. And they have, like, a freight elevator. Because it's in, like, the back of, in the middle of Quad 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a freight elevator that goes down to where, like, all the random furniture and stuff are.
Yeah.
And, like, I tripped and I fell in the freight elevator and I got a nasty bruise on that knee, too.
Oh.
So this year has been the year of bruised knees. I'm glad I don't have a third leg because I don't want another knee injury.
Oh, dear. Do you recall the passport to campus thing? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was something. I don't recall that much.
Oh, okay.
But that was just, like, you scheduled a time, you walked up to the Northern Center, and then they swabbed your nose. No, you had to swab your own nose. And then it took them, like, 3 or 4 days to tell you if you had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Which I sort of thought was sort of silly, because, like, wouldn't you want to know if you had COVID before you came on campus? Before you moved into the dorms with a lot of people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you remember... I remember that Fritz said that we were going to start classes before, like, half the people had their COVID tests back, and that people were supposed to contact ASNMU if they had, like, reservations about that. Do you remember any of that?
I think we just yelled at them. I'm not sure what we did exactly. I think we just, everybody just emailed the president's office.
Oh, sure.
And was like, hey, you need to not do that because it's a dumb idea. And then I think we got the first week online. The first week was online,
mm-hmm.
which was good for me because, like, I didn't want to have to request to do class online. And it was a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
But, like, when I first got into classes, that was weird. It was a very strange feeling because, like, nobody's ever done class with a mask and, like, the one plexiglass divider to just protect the professor, which I sort of thought was silly.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody was sitting 6 feet apart wearing masks. And it's a strange feeling because, like, I didn't know if I could drink water.
Oh, sure.
And, like, I, like, got, like, my mouth got, like, full of cotton or, like, dry. Because, like, I was, like, I'm thirsty, but I can't. And, like, it was a 2-hour class.
Uh-huh.
It was a very strange feeling, like, going to that first class. Especially since I was just in Spalding,
right.
Because I had COVID.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you have any other thoughts?
I don't know.
Well, one of my questions on here is, what are your thoughts on the U.S. coronavirus response? And just in terms of, like, politics, if you have any opinions you want to share about that?
I just thought was there even a response?
That was your perception?
I didn't enjoy the politicization of the response. Like, it's a disease. It's an illness. We shouldn't be making this an issue for, like, political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's literally so many other things, but no, we're focusing on this. We could be doing so much better if we were just like, okay, let's all just be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have, like, so many vaccinations to, like, go to, like, kindergarten, so why is this any different?
Mm-hmm. Alas. Well, I guess I'm out of questions. Do you have anything else before I shut this off?
Should I say stuff about me just so everybody can remember? Just that I'm Gerald Ford's number one fan.
Yep.
I don't think anybody else is going to claim that title. So I'm Gerald Ford's number one fan. If somebody has an issue with that, they can come contact me.
Okay.
The internet's a very wonderful resource. You can find me on there.
Yep.
And then you just tell me that, no, I'm Gerald Ford's number one fan. And then you can have that title.
It's You're willing to pass it off.
I'm willing to pass it off, but I don't think anybody will take it.
Okay.
Because Gerald Ford was sort of problematic at some times. Like, I just read that he tried to impeach a Supreme Court justice. And, like, I was like, oh, I never knew this.
Uh-huh.
Which is funny. The funny part is that Supreme Court justice stepped down during his presidency. Huh. So he got to appoint his predecessor.
Uh-huh.
Which, together, they were, like, the longest-serving Supreme Court justice and the third longest-serving Supreme Court justice. So something's good about that Supreme Court seat. I think Kagan's in that seat, so she's going to live forever.
Okay. It's on the record. All right. Well, thank you. Oh, it's on hold.